If we were to take a poll here this morning, there are many, many reasons to love Christmas. I mean, there are the cultural reasons as we think about all those fun things, the trees, the lights, the decorations, the gifts, the music, the fruitcakes. Yeah, there are actually people in the world that like those things. And I've gotten a hold of a few good ones myself, but they're always the brunt of jokes for whatever reason. But we who are born again, who are followers of Jesus Christ, we have a different hope, a greater love for the season that goes back way before, it's ancient, it goes way back before all these cultural traditions that we've developed over the last several hundred years. You see, for us, Christmas is first and foremost about the celebration of the Incarnation. This morning, that was in our Advent reading, and Zechariah said, "Daddy, what's incarnation?" He couldn't figure it out. What is that? That's where Jesus Christ, the eternal Son of God, came down from heaven and was born of a virgin. He took on flesh and He dwelt among us. That's the center of our Christmas season. Born of a virgin, coming to that hallowed manger ground, and He dwelt among us, sinners. Dear ones, I want to say, the world can have the trees, the lights, all those things, the decorations, the gifts, the music, all those things, but give us who? Jesus. Now again, all those things are great. I mean, every one of those things that I just mentioned should point us to Christ. Amen? Decorate your tree, to the hilt, okay? I mean, that decorate your house and all those things. Enjoy it. Play Christmas music all season long. But let those things point us to the reason for the season. And His name is Jesus Christ. You know, the world would be happy, wouldn't it, if we just celebrated Christmas and never mentioned Jesus. They would be thrilled. And I want to say to you, that is possible. It's possible to celebrate Christmas and never mention Jesus, because my family did it for years growing up. Man, we loved Christmas, but Jesus had no part in our Christmas. We didn't celebrate the birth of Christ. I mean, there might have been some mention of it a little bit, but that wasn't what it was about. But those of us who love the Lord, we dare not forget. We dare not forget that Jesus Christ is the center. So let's let God in Jesus Christ this Christmas season be our focus, our joy, our heart's desire in every season, but particularly in this Christmas season. And so we say resoundingly, joy to the world, the Lord is come. So this Christmas season, we're going to see Christmas through the eyes of Isaiah. As I prepared to preach to you all last week from Isaiah chapter 12, I got all excited about the book of Isaiah because there's so much prophecy pointing us to the coming of Christ, the first advent of Jesus, the first visitation of Jesus. I mean, Isaiah is really an amazing prophetic book, and it's going to help us focus on God this Christmas. And so over the next 4 weeks, we'll be looking at four different things. Again, all in the book of Isaiah. First is God the Holy One. Second, we'll look at God the Enlightening One. Third, we'll look at God the Substitute. And then finally, the Sunday before Christmas Day, we'll look at God the Gladdening One. Those will be the four things that we'll do as we head into Christmas season. What I want to share with you this morning, I want to focus on the Holy One. And here's the main point I want you to get this morning. This is so important, guys. We can't forget this. God, the Holy One, took on flesh to make unholy humanity holy. That's the point I want to share with you this morning. Let me say it again. God, the Holy One, took on flesh to make unholy humanity holy. What a glorious truth. We'll break that truth down and we're going to look at its parts as we get here in Isaiah chapter 6. God the Holy One took on flesh to make unholy humanity holy. So the first truth we got to look at if we're going to break this down is that God is holy. He's holy. We cannot forget that this Christmas. I know that we often think about God's love and God's mercy and God's grace, but none of that makes sense, y'all, if we don't get a glimpse and a grasp of God's holiness. God's holiness is what sets the backstage, the backdrop, the foundation, if you will, of the gift of Christ. Let's look at Isaiah chapter 6, verse 1 through 4. And you all know this passage well, probably, but it's good in this season to see it through different, from a different angle, all right? From a different perspective than we normally look at it. Isaiah 6, verses 1 through 4 says this. It relates God's holiness to us in this way. In the year of King Uzziah's death, I saw the Lord sitting on a throne, lofty and exalted, and the train of His robe filling the temple. Seraphim stood above Him, each having six wings. With two He covered His face, and with two He covered His feet, and with two He flew. And one called out to another and said, "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. The whole earth is full of His glory. And the foundations of the thresholds trembled at the voice of Him who called out, while the temple was filling with smoke." What an amazing vision. I can't imagine all that Isaiah saw, but it had to be one of those things. You ever had a dream? You woke up and you lived different that day because of the dream? Guys, this was a life-changing vision. This wasn't a dream. I mean, this is a vision from God. Now, it comes at the time of Uzziah's death. Uzziah, who was one of the kings of Judah, he died somewhere around 740 BC. And I believe it's no coincidence that it was in that year of Uzziah's death that God sent this vision to Isaiah, proclaiming God's holiness. It was the very year that Uzziah died that God sent this. Now, why do I believe that's not a coincidence? Well, you see, if you know anything about Uzziah, Uzziah's final years were a painful object lesson. Every day of his life was a reminder that God is holy. What do I mean by that? Go with me to 2 Chronicles chapter 26. 2 Chronicles chapter 26, verse 16 through 21. You see, Uzziah, he had enjoyed a very long, 50-some years as king of Judah. A very long and prosperous reign. They said that really his prosperity was only topped by Solomon. Very prosperous king. And he loved the Lord, but as many times in our lives, he grew older, he grew stronger as a king, as a nation, and his pride, became very great with that. And it did him in. Let's look here. 2 Chronicles 26, verse 16. But when Uzziah, King Uzziah, became strong, his heart was so proud that he acted corruptly. And he was unfaithful to the Lord his God. For he entered the temple of the Lord to burn incense on the altar of incense. Then Azariah the priest entered after him, and with him 80 priests of the Lord, valiant men. They opposed Uzziah the king and said to him, "It's not for you, Uzziah, to burn incense to the Lord, but for the priests, the sons of Aaron, who are consecrated to burn incense. Get out of the sanctuary, for you've been unfaithful and will have no honor from the Lord God." But Uzziah, with a censer in his hand for burning incense, was enraged. And while he was enraged with the priest, the leprosy broke out on his forehead before the priests in the house of the Lord, beside the altar of incense. Azariah, the chief priest, and all the priests looked at him, and behold, he was leprous on his forehead. And they hurried him out of there. And he himself also hastened to get out, because the Lord had smitten him. King Uzziah was a leper to the day of his death, and he lived in a separate house, being a leper, for he was cut off from the house of the Lord. And Jotham, his son, was over the king's house, judging the people and the land. You see, church, what happened? King Uzziah ignored the holiness of God, and God disciplined him for it. And in that year that he finally died, God gave this vision to the prophet Isaiah. to remind Isaiah, almost, I believe, almost as a triumphant vision, that I am the real king. I am holy. He saw the Lord, the Bible says, high and lifted up, exalted on a throne. His robe, the train of his robe, which was like, we see like with brides with their wedding gowns. That big old long train, but kings wore those in those days. There in the ancient Near Eastern and Far Eastern cultures, that was a sign of dignity, a sign of power. And the vision here, the entire robe train filled the temple, and there was smoke and there was earthquakes and all those things. All of this was to indicate God's grandeur and His majesty as king. Because think about this, Uzziah had forgotten who the king really is, hadn't he? Uzziah had placed himself above God. He had forgotten that although he was a king of Judah, no doubt, he was not the Almighty King. He was not the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. And God in this vision is relating to Isaiah, who was then to relate to the rest of the world, that He is the Almighty King. Dear ones, we should take heed this morning. We should listen to this, because listen to me carefully. Although we are, none of us are actual kings, none of us are the actual lords, every one of us, from time to time, we like to get up on the throne ourselves, don't we? And talk down to God and ignore God and tell Him what we're going to do and what we want and what He should do. And when we do, bad things always come, don't they? Just like with Uzziah, discipline comes. And so I pray that we humble ourselves before God humbles us. Humble yourself before God humbles you. He is the King. But it doesn't stop there. Remember, we're getting to the holiness of God here, not the grandeur of God, although the grandeur of God is bound up in His holiness as well. That's part of it. We see here that that attending the Lord there, notice those that are attending the Lord are angelic beings called seraphim. Seraphim, this is the only place in the Bible that seraphim are mentioned, but that word seraphim literally means flaming ones. They had six wings, two for covering their face, two for covering their feet, two for flying, and even these amazing creatures, think about this, they covered their face and their feet to show honor, to show humility to God as they were in the presence of God. But notice what they declared, verse 3, and one called out to another and said, "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. The whole earth is full of His glory." You see, the Lord was not only amazing in His presence, because, the sight that Isaiah saw was amazing. It was captivating. It was startling. But He was also amazing in His character, guys. That's the kind of God we have. He's not just awesome in His presence. He's awesome in His person. He's awesome in His character. And the Bible says here that He's not just holy. He's not just really holy. He is most holy. The Bible says holy, holy, holy. To be holy is to be completely set apart and dedicated to the glory of God. Which in application, what does that mean? That means that you're completely separated from sin. Right? If you're set apart, dedicated to the glory of God, that means that you're completely separated from sin. And the Bible says that God is holy, holy, holy. He's completely set apart, dedicated to the glory of God, and because of that, He is sinless. The Bible says in Habakkuk chapter 1, verse 13, it says this about God. It says, "Your eyes are too pure to approve evil, and you cannot look on wickedness with favor." Friends, listen to me this morning. God's holiness, as we come to this Christmas season, was one of the contributing factors, one of the things that pushed God to send Christ. But that leads us to the second truth this morning. Remember, we said this morning that we want to think on God, the Holy One, took on flesh to make unholy humanity holy. And so the second truth we're going to look at is simply this. We're unholy. We are unholy. God is holy and we're not. And when these two things collide, we who are unholy have a problem. It's a massive problem. That's why Isaiah reacted in the way that he did. Look there with me, verse 5. Isaiah chapter 6, verse 5. Then I said, "Woe is me, for I'm ruined, because I am a man of unclean lips, and I live among a people of unclean lips. For my eyes have seen the King, the Lord of hosts." You see, in the presence of God's perfection, it became painfully obvious to Isaiah that he was not perfect. It was clear to him, as it was earlier said in Isaiah chapter 1, verse 18, that his sins were as scarlet. That they were red like crimson. Isaiah knew in a flash that he was filthy of sin. He knew it in the very instance that he was in God's presence. God didn't declare him unholy. He knew it. He felt it. That he was unholy. Represented by his unclean lips. That represented his whole body. But it wasn't just Isaiah. It was all of humanity. He realized that he was unclean and dwelt with unclean people. Friends, you know well what the Bible says about we. As a fallen humanity, we are sinners from conception. Even before we personally sin, we are sinners. It's who we are naturally. I could read to you Romans chapter 3 with all that list that no one seeks God, that no one is righteous, that we've all went our own way, that no one does good, that we just shed blood and destruction and misery are in our path. There's no fear of God before our eyes. But, you know, Romans 3:23 sums it up best. All have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. We in no way, naturally, in and of ourselves, are set apart for the glory of God. We in no way are sinless in all that we do. And so here we have two complete opposites. God who is holy and man who is unholy. Isaiah knew he was in trouble because God cannot simply overlook sin. Let me declare to you this morning that if you're here and you've never turned from sin and trusted Christ, the Bible says clearly that you are in spiritual trouble. I said to a man yesterday these simple words. We were talking about the gospel and the Christian faith and all that. And I simply asked him this one question. Does that concern you? We were talking about where he was standing, where his heart was, what his desires were. And he didn't have many for the Lord. And I said, does that concern you? And so I say to you this morning, if you're here and you don't have a heart for God, you don't love Jesus, you not turn from sin and self, does that concern you? Because God clearly tells us in Scripture that He will visit judgment and condemnation on you. Does that concern you? I certainly pray that it does. And so God is holy. We are unholy. But here's where Christmas fits in so beautifully. Glory to God that our unholiness is not the end of it. Amen? That's not the end of it. That's not the end of the story. Because God's holiness and our unholiness led God to go on a mission. And that leads us to the final bit of truth this morning. Christ came to make us holy. Right? God the Holy One came to make unholy humanity holy. Christ came to make us holy. We see a picture of this, a glimpse of this. And I know, again, this is not just this is sort of a picture of what the gospel is. Here in Isaiah chapter 6. Look here at verse 6 and verse 7. Then one of the seraphim flew to me with a burning coal in his hand, which he had taken from the altar with tongs.
He touched my mouth with it and said, Behold, this has touched your lips, and your iniquity is taken away, and your sin is forgiven. Guys, as we think about God's holiness and our unholiness, we without a doubt deserve condemnation. We without a doubt deserve what's coming to us. We deserve judgment. But the truth of the matter is that God was not satisfied to leave it there. He put together a plan within the Trinity. They covenanted together to come get a people, to come redeem a people for every person who will believe on Jesus Christ. He sent His Son to save many from their sins. That's exactly what the angel told Joseph here. Go with me to Matthew chapter 1. Matthew chapter 1, verse 18. Christ came to make us holy. And in order to do that, He had to cleanse us. Matthew 1, verse 18. Now the birth of Jesus Christ was as follows. When His mother Mary had been betrothed to Joseph, before they came together, she was found to be with child by the Holy Spirit. And Joseph, her husband, being a righteous man and not wanting to disgrace her, planned to send her away secretly. But when he had considered this, behold, the angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream, saying, Joseph, son of David, don't be afraid to take Mary as your wife, for the child has been conceived in her as of the Holy Spirit. She'll bear a son, and you shall name him Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins. Just like this. I mean, this angel is coming and declaring this to a people who have unclean lips, and they live among people with unclean lips. Just like Isaiah there in that vision, he realized that he was sinful. But notice this. Did you notice in Isaiah? Did Isaiah go to the angel, or did the angel go to Isaiah? The angel flew to Isaiah. God's emissary, God's messenger went to the sinner. And guys, this Christmas season, right? Christ didn't say, y'all come on up here. Y'all get me. Y'all come to me. And you can be saved. He said, I'll come to you. I'll come to you. God came to make us holy. He came to save us from our sins. And so this Christmas season, as you think about that, as you think about the holiness of God and your unholiness, but your cleansing that came through Jesus Christ, man, you've got a ton of things to rejoice in. You have a God who loves you so much that He didn't just leave you in the mire, that He came, left heaven above. His Son came, took on flesh, dwelt among us, and lived the life that we cannot live. And He died the death that we deserve. God, the Holy One, took on flesh to make unholy humanity holy. For those of you who are in Jesus Christ, positionally right now, you are holy, 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 just like Christ. Right now in heaven, that's who you are. That's how God sees you. Because the blood of Christ covers you. I know you're not there in everyday life on earth, but in heaven, God sees you as Jesus sees you, as Jesus is. But there's coming a day as we wait for Christ to come back. When He comes back, we'll be transformed. We made just like He is. Perfect. Holy, holy, holy. Not just in heaven, but on earth. And I long for that day. But for everyone else, again, if you're not in Jesus Christ, can I just say to you this morning again, lovingly, not because I am holy in and of myself, but because Christ has made me that way, you can be that too. You're not holy if you're not in Jesus, but you can be. And so I extend to you the gift that even as Tony talked about earlier, you got to receive it. You got to open it. You got to take it. And I pray this morning, as God just touches your heart and pricks your heart, as you think about the holiness of God and your unholiness, you see standing out there Jesus Christ saying, I can and will make you holy if you'll only receive me. And I pray this morning that you will. My prayer is simply the prayer that the psalmist prayed in Psalm 71, verse 22 and 23. I will also praise you with a harp, even your truth, O my God. To you I will sing praises with the lyre, O Holy One of Israel. My lips will shout for joy when I sing praises to you and my soul, which you have redeemed.